Apparently, I missed a lot last week. I heard that the kids' peace ceremony was wonderful, if hot. You know, the International Day of Peace was set in September by the United Nations, and I think in New York, September is cool and beautiful. But we go out in the heat because we're in Texas. It took a lot of people to put that together, just that little short ceremony, and the kids did a beautiful job. And then Rudy Hurst was here to speak and sing, and I got an email from him. Actually, I started hearing immediately after the service that it was great and people loved him, and then I heard from him. And he said he has never been in a church where the congregation sang so robustly. So I don't know what you did, but he thinks you're great singers, and he loved it, and he would love to come back. He had a wonderful time. Once upon a time, long ago, in countryside that was hilly and rocky and hot, there was a shepherd with 100 sheep. He took really good care of them. He took them to green pastures. He led them to water. He anointed the bug bites on their heads with oil. This is why the Lord is my shepherd resonated so deeply with people centuries ago. They knew how loving and attentive a shepherd needed to be. Well, this particular shepherd could count, and so he counted his sheep every day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, you can see why counting sheep is a way to fall asleep. Because it was dull, and it was, you know, 97, 98, 99. Uh-oh, 99. Ugh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He went through it again, and he got to 97, 98, 99. There's supposed to be 100. I think there's a sheep missing. So he checked with the other shepherds. He checked with his family. Nobody'd seen the sheep, but they agreed. Yeah, there's supposed to be 100. So off he went to find the sheep. He could leave the 99 safely grazing for a while. They were responsible, mature sheep. He went out, he searched among the rocks and the ravines. He was wearing sandals. He scratched up his feet and ankles. And finally, there was the sheep. He found her, the lost sheep. And he put her over his shoulders to carry her back to the flock. Now, the average sheep, I looked it up, weighs close to 200 pounds. So this shepherd had the strength of a longshoreman. And he carried her back and he hollered at his friends and family, "Hey, I found her. Come celebrate with me." Okay, we'll put the sheep down. So you've heard that story, right? You know it's from the Bible. Some of you do. Jesus told that story. When I heard it in Sunday school as a young child, it meant Jesus was watching out for me. Wherever I went, Jesus would be there for me. And that felt really good. And it is true. I would use different words. In Unity, we call it the Christ, a divine energy. We say the Christ is the spirit that was embodied in Jesus, the man, and it is the spirit we all express as human beings made in the image of God. We are loved and guided throughout our earthly experience. And whether you call that guidance Jesus or spirit guides or angels or your own higher self, it's all one, and we are cared for. But parables have layers of meaning. Parables are stories that illustrate a universal truth. Jesus told parables in answer to questions to get people to think, to ask their own questions, to wonder what it means. The moral of his stories is not immediately clear. So as adults, we interpret Bible stories by asking three questions. What was going on at the time? What does the lesson mean on the surface of this story, just what's on the page? And what does it mean for me now, today? One of the ways we do that in Unity is to consider that every person, place, or thing in a story represents some part of our individual consciousness. All the elements of the story are elements of you. That means your interpretation of a story today could be different tomorrow. And it gives you great freedom. Jesus' parables are like Zen koans. There's no pat answer. There's your answer. And there's your answer at any particular moment as your life circumstances change. So we use these stories as tools to discover things about ourselves. How do I see myself? What do I value? Where do I have resistance? Where do I need to do some work? The story of the lost sheep is in Matthew and Luke. In both books, he's talking, at least on the surface, about the kingdom of heaven, who's most likely to find it, and how people who go astray are dealt with. In Luke's version, Jesus was being criticized for hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. And he launches into a series of three stories. The first one is this story about the lost sheep. The second one is about a woman who lost a coin. She lost significant money. She turned her house upside down to find it. She did find it and rejoiced with her neighbors. And then the third story was the prodigal son, who turned away from dissolute living and came home, and his father threw a party for him. When I was a little older in Sunday school, I was taught the obvious point: God loves reformed sinners. And the author of Luke has Jesus say exactly that. He ends stories by saying there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Great. God actually loves sinners more than other people. To me, that was a catch-22 of Christianity. You're supposed to act like Jesus and be good all the time, but God actually values sinners more. If you're bad and you repent, the angels sing and dance. However, I still had a chance to be loved by God. The church I grew up in let me know in a very loving way that I was bad and I must never forget it. They were trying to be supportive. They were teaching me that I would always need and have access to God's grace. I was the bad sheep, but God would not desert me. Well, here's the thing. If every person, place, or thing in a story represents a part of you, then sometimes you are the wandering sheep. Sometimes you're part of the 99, sometimes you're the shepherd. So let's look at these roles and see whether you identify with any of them. And I have to give credit to another Unity minister, Laurie Boyd, for thinking through all the various ways to interpret this story. I know you'll see yourself in it, and that's the brilliance of Jesus' parables. They apply to you differently on any given day, but they always apply to you in some way. We don't analyze Bible stories. We contemplate them. That means as you listen, turn to your inner wisdom and see what arises for you. Have there been times in your life when you felt lost? When you needed someone to reach out, to find you, to bring you home? So you've been the lost sheep. It's that sense of the divine that comforts you, and sometimes you feel it within. Often it comes through other people, or pets, or nature, or music, but it never leaves you. You cannot wander too far away. You can't be so far away that you separate yourself from the infinite. His eye is on the sparrow. Have you been one of the 99? At one level, you might feel kind of self-righteous. I stayed with the flock. I'm not a troublemaker. Or you can feel boring and unadventurous. I'm just one of the sheep. None of that feels good. So check with your inner wisdom. What if the 99 are the community? A loving, safe place that welcomes those who have wandered off for a while. A place that says, come in and let us love you. Is that your family, your circle of friends, this church? A part of you is the shepherd. At one level, the shepherd decides which sheep are good and bad, which ones are going to cause trouble, and which ones are obedient. But judging sheep doesn't feel good either. Your inner shepherd, that divine presence, is loving and attentive and cares about each one of the sheep, and it reaches out a hand to those in need. We've talked a lot lately about asking for help from your higher self. That's your inner shepherd. This same parable is told in Matthew in a different context. There, the disciples have asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And you know they're hoping Jesus will say, "Why, you guys, of course." Instead, Jesus puts a child on his lap, and he says, "Anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And he recommended we become like little children. Children didn't have a lot of value in those days until they were old enough to work. So saying that a worthless little kid would enter the kingdom of heaven got their attention. And let's pause just long enough to make it clear, heaven is not a physical place that you earn your way into after you die. We're in it now. We create it for ourselves. It is a state of consciousness. And some days we're better at creating heaven, and some days we create hell. We, as individuals, as families, as a society. In Matthew, Jesus said to become like little children, and then he told the story of the lost sheep. And this time, he ends the story saying, "It is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish." So again, that divine presence is available to everyone, everywhere. Okay, so we can say, part of me is the shepherd to take care of those who are lost and helpless, who can't take care of themselves. I'm also one of the 99, safe space to receive them. But let's go back to the idea that I'm the lost sheep. I mean, sure, there are times when I appreciate help, but does that mean I've gone astray, I've sinned? Well, remember the word sin means to miss the mark. And there are lots of ways we can miss the mark. Jesus told this story in the context of a little child. A child is innocent, fearless, creative, joyful. Maybe the story is about maintaining those qualities in ourselves, being open to learn, appreciating the world around us. If those qualities start to get lost, if we become jaded or cynical, we have an inner shepherd who can retrieve them for us. Maybe it's about beginner's mind. Always open, look for lessons, receive wisdom. Maybe being a lost sheep is about my thinking. The third principle in Unity says we create our experience by our thinking. So when your thinking goes astray, when your thoughts are not serving you, that inner shepherd can bring it back. It can remind you of the truth. Maybe this story is about compassion. Bothering to notice when someone has gone missing, when they need a hand or a heart connection. And sometimes you have to drop what you're doing, leave the 99 sheep, and disrupt your plans to take care of the one. That shepherd might have had a lunch date, but this was more important. Maybe the story is not about being a sinner. Maybe it's an opportunity to notice where my prejudices are, where I'm labeling other people as lost or wrong, and judge them for missing the mark. And if there's a part of you that's a counselor, I'm not looking in your direction, you might want to ask the sheep, "Why do you feel the need to run away?" And talk to the shepherd about why he can't let go. On any day, you could ask yourself, what is the sheep that you feel has been lost? What are you running after? So you hear how many varied interpretations are possible? Does any of this connect with you? It's just a simple little Bible story. We tell it to children. A shepherd went out and found the lost sheep. The divine is always with you, in and around you. But there's richness and depth in these stories. It's not about finding one right answer or meaning. It's looking at ourselves and noticing what's revealed. There are places where we allow the divine within to shine through, and other places where we block the light. So in a few minutes, when we go into meditation, check with your inner wisdom and be present to what rises up in you, beyond words, beyond thought, where you simply experience oneness. Bring into your awareness all we've talked about, and allow the wisdom of spirit, the love of spirit that lives within you, to awaken you to more meaning for your life today. There's still another way to interpret this story. This parable is also in the Gospel of Thomas. It's one of the books that didn't make the Bible. It was discovered in 1945 in Egypt. Thomas has no stories and no context. It's just teachings. It's a list of sayings. And so this is just one verse. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One of them, the largest, went astray. He left the 99 and looked for the one until he found it. And when he had found it, he said to the sheep, 'I love you more than the 99. Well, that seems unfair. Once again, the prodigal brother gets all the attention and praise just for coming home where he was supposed to be all along. And heaven rejoices when sinners repent. But what if the sheep wasn't lost? What if it was exploring? What if it represents our green growing edges, what we are being called to become by Spirit within us? Maybe you're a wandering sheep, not because you're a sinner, but because you want to be all you came here to be. And what about the wandering sheep in your life? How do you respond to them? Do you try to drag them back into the safe, familiar fold? Or can you meet them where they are and simply love them? I love you more than the 99 because you are a seeker. I love you because you take risks even when they scare me. I love you because you know there's more to life than grazing quietly with the flock. How do you respond to the nonconformist sheep in your life? And what if you followed them?" Let's take these thoughts into meditation with Melinda.
So just take a moment now to center yourself, to be here in this room, here in your body, nowhere else. Any worries, any troubles, any thoughts that you have to work out, just set them down. You can pick them right up, back up again when we're done. Breathe deeply, knowing my only job is to be here now, present to the love that is always available. Sometimes we rush past it, sometimes we run away from it. I don't know how often we sit down and just allow the love of the Great Shepherd, the love that is our inherent birthright, to just be in us. So as you take a deep breath, I invite you to breathe in light. Breathe out. See yourself glow. And breathe in light. And glow. And breathe in light till you feel full of light. The light of God lives with you and within you in every moment, and so there is nothing to repent of. shame or sin or wrongdoing that you perceive on your part can keep you from one tiny beam of light. It's all of ours. So if the shepherd is loving us and we are sitting and allowing the shepherd to love in this moment, there might be a question that we'd like to ask. Okay, shepherd, you're the guide here. Your rod and your staff comfort me. They lead me to where the green pastures are and where the clear waters flow. So I'd ask you to allow any question that's been burning within you to just come up. Not to figure it out. Something that is a heart's desire or that is a scary secret. Something that feels too adventurous and daring to even bring into the light. I encourage you to bring it now. Simply let that light of God, that love of God, that love of the shepherd which comes from within us, that is rained down upon us, that surrounds us in every moment, that we partake of every time we breathe and that we glow with every time that we breathe, which is always. Just allow that question, that query, that worry, to be held in this light and know when we get still and ask, guidance is given. So as you are still sitting there glowing, I invite you to see that glow now, not just coming from within yourself and glowing around you, but see how the light glowing around you blends into the light of everyone here. This community of light. This is your 99. And if someday, for whatever reason, for adventure, for exploration, because there's something you want to know, something you want to figure out, something you want to experience, something you're unsure of, if at any time you become the wanderer, this community of light is available physically here at Unity at Wimberley for you to come to, but also metaphysically, anytime you sit down and breathe in light and emanate light and see that that light is connected to the light of every other person on this planet. There is no place that you don't belong. It's not possible to be lost. And it's safe.